Hi there, welcome to Osler Podcasts. My name's Todd Fraser and this is the podcast where we interview leading clinicians, characters and troublemakers who are changing the face of clinical healthcare. With me today is Associate Professor Stephen Goff, the inaugural Chair of the Paramedicine Board of Australia. Stephen's clinical career has spanned almost four decades and he is currently the Assistant Commissioner of Capability and Development within the Queensland Ambulance Service and holds Associate Professor appointments at four Australian universities. He joins me today to chat about national registration and its likely impacts on paramedics. Welcome, Stephen.
Thanks very much, Todd.
So I guess the one of the major topics going around in paramedic circles in Australasia at the moment is national registration. You've obviously been highly involved in this process. What was the impetus for introducing national registration for paramedicine?
I think it's the journey that paramedicine's been under in the last century, but more so what changes have occurred in the profession in the last couple of decades. In the last two decades, we've seen the introduction of scheduled medicine. We've seen the introduction of the education base moving to the university sector. And we've seen the introduction of modern technology for use in the pre-hospital care environment. With all of those things in concert, the change in practice obviously does carry a degree of risk. And moving to a regulatory model with registration of the practitioner as the centrepiece is key to ensuring public safety.
Stephen, what do you see as the benefits, the outcomes of this process in terms of the way the profession handles itself and operates?
The main stems of being able to be identified as a profession are, in fact, having a body of knowledge that's specific to the profession, having specific capabilities that are required to practice in the profession, and thirdly, having education and training standards that underpin the qualifications to enter the profession. I think the benefits are that we'll have national standards within the profession that are recognised within Australia, and whether you're working for one of the principal ambulance services in each state and territory or working in the private sector, as a practitioner, you'll be bound by those national standards. And in that respect, the public can have confidence in the qualifications and the capability of the paramedics providing services in Australia.
Stephen, I'd imagine that this doesn't happen overnight, this sort of process. There must have been a lot of work go into establishing the board and establishing the guidelines that that they implement. Can you tell us a bit about that process?
Certainly. Board was appointed in late 2017. A body of work was established to commence. One of the main parts of that work was getting in place the standards in a similar fashion to those that exist for the 14 other registered health professions in Australia. Indeed, a number of the standards mirror those used across all other professions. But we also had the need to establish a grandparenting standard so that the people who are practicing as a paramedic currently, who may not have the qualification from a university but could definitely demonstrate their competence, could easily transition to the regulatory model and become registered. The board posted those standards, the five standards and the grandparenting standards for public consultation. After that period, they were referred to the COAG Health Council. That's the Australian and Australian State and Territory Health Ministers sitting in council for approval. Once approved, they were adopted by the board as the standards for the profession. And those were the standards that were used for the commencement of the registration of paramedics on the 1st of December 2018.
To some degree, you would have had the benefit of others' experience in this area, wouldn't you? I believe that the UK has gone through a similar process in the not too distant past. What sort of lessons did you learn from the experience of other countries?
I guess just to contextualise it, regulation and registration has been in place in other countries for a little while. Certainly a registration process in South Africa, a registration process in the UK, and a registration process in Ireland. We were able to look at the benefits and processes used in the models in those countries. We also looked at what happens in places like Canada in terms of the way they license or manage their paramedics within Canada, and move into a regulatory model using the experience of the 14 other health professions that had been regulated before us. It's quite interesting to reflect that the National Registration Accreditation Scheme has in fact only been in place for approximately 10 years, and over 10 years has moved to register 14 professions and now paramedicine as the 15th registered health profession in Australia. In total, there are well over 700,000 registered health professionals in Australia, and we anticipate that towards the end of this year, we might reach approximately 20,000 registered paramedics in Australia.
There has been some conjecture that national registration can cause problems and put the workforce under some strain. Are you anticipating that there will be any hiccups, and how have you planned for those eventualities?
To date, things have worked very well. We've had a cooperative arrangements with the major ambulance employers in Australia, who I might add do employ the majority of paramedics in Australia. Having said that, we've had other forums nationally in each state and territory where we've engaged the private sector, where we've engaged unions, where we've engaged health complaints entities, where we've engaged the departments of health, and we've worked through what regulation would mean to the paramedic profession. All in all, it's been a reasonably smooth transition. A few things along the way, as you would have expected, that we've had to work with and work our way through. But in general, it's worked very well. The benefits, of course, are in having a national register for all paramedics in Australia, which we didn't have before. The benefits are in having the five enduring national standards for entry to the profession, which we didn't have before, albeit that the major state and territory ambulance services had their own standards within those organisations. But in a similar manner to the genesis of the national scheme, bringing the regulatory model, the registration of paramedics together, actually gave us an opportunity to bring national standards across the entire paramedic workforce in Australia.
One of the largest areas of concern for paramedics is around CPD. Can you remind the listeners who are listening to this podcast what their obligations are under the new registration scheme?
Yes. CPD in itself is a very important part of the regulatory model used under the National Registration and Accreditation Scheme. CPD applies to all of the professions under the regulatory model. There are slight differences in the amount of hours and the types of things that are required for completing CPD in accordance with the particular profession, but generally the guidelines are very similar. CPD is an important foundation of lifelong learning and helps paramedics to maintain and enhance their practice. Within the paramedic standard, paramedics are required to complete at least 30 hours of CPD each year, and of those 30 hours, 8 hours of that CPD are required to be interactive activities. In other words, they're required to undertake CPD with other health practitioners, other paramedics. That can include interprofessional activities. Examples of CPD activities can be attending conferences and seminars, undertaking research and presentation of work, reading books and journals associated with their practice, participation on committees that are relevant to their practice, and participating in peer performance and review activities. These activities need to be recorded. Paramedics, the same as the other health professionals that are registered, are required to keep a record of their CPD. They're required to keep it for the cycle, which is usually the registration period, and they're required to keep at least 5 years of CPD activity that must be available if required for audit or if required by the paramedicine board as part of an investigation following a notification against the practitioner.
You mentioned audit there. Obviously, that would be a somewhat stressful event for a paramedic, but what sort of information do they need to record, and how does that process of audit occur?
Yeah, the audit is a random audit across the registered professions to ensure that paramedics and other health professionals are indeed undertaking the CPD required to meet the standard. Not everyone gets audited. In fact, it's only a sampling of practitioners in professions that are audited. On the other side of the coin, of course, if there's a notification or a complaint against a practitioner, invariably the board or the investigating parties will ask for information relating to the practitioner's CPD to ensure that they are meeting the standard. In terms of the records, you need to identify the date, the time, the place, the type of activity, and you need, or it's recommended that as part of that activity, you actually also undertake some reflection on what that learning actually means to developing your practice within the profession. Those records are not in a prescribed form. There are a range of providers that offer applications that can do that for the practitioner, and indeed some practitioners choose to keep rudimentary paper-based records to achieve the purpose. The Paramedic Board of Australia has published guidelines on the Paramedicine Board's website that outline the process keeping CPD records, gives good examples of the types of things that can be included in CPD activities, gives some examples of what is meant by the terms such as interprofessional learning, and gives a general outline to assist the practitioner meet those requirements.
Finally, Stephen, are there any exemptions from this process? You mentioned earlier that some paramedics had been granted a grandfathering registration. Are they entitled to any exemptions from CPD, and are other exemptions granted for any other circumstances?
No, the grandparenting is simply around the qualifications required for entry into the profession to become a registered paramedic. If you go through a grandparenting pathway, you're still required to meet all the other standards, and the CPD, of course, in the case of paramedicine is new, but you would be required to meet the CPD requirements each year, even though you were registered through a grandparenting pathway. Having said that, in very, very limited circumstances, on application from a practitioner, a practitioner can apply to the Paramedicine Board to be exempt from having to undertake the CPD for a specified period. However, there has to be very good reasons for the practitioner not doing that, and it is considered by the board before making that decision.
Stephen, thanks very much for joining us on the podcast today to talk about these important issues, and congratulations on this significant milestone for the industry, and best of luck for its rollout over the next couple of years.
Thanks, Todd. Very pleased to be with you today.
Thanks for joining me today on the podcast. For more great interviews just like this, please visit our website at osler.force.com.